Welcome to Vacation Rentals with John. Get ready to learn some Airbnb with me. All right, let's go. What is up, everybody? So today I want to introduce this little mini series I'm doing because I've fielded a lot of questions about actually acquiring a property, how to get into an Airbnb, even selling an Airbnb, because some people want to actually get out of the business right now. So this mini series, I just want to start by saying I am not one of those arbitrage Airbnb guru people who tells you to get property with no money down and rent a lease and talk to the landlord. I don't do that because I know deep in my heart, this business is hard. It's not easy. It's not get rich quick. I've cleaned toilets. I've actually ran in the middle of the night to bring things to guests, change batteries, change locks. I've done all of that. This business is real hard work. If you're hosting, you know that's true. There's no free lunch here. Anyone promising you the moon, the sun, the stars. This is not passive at all. This business is not passive. This is work becomes an occupation, but you can make a lot of money doing it and you could build the lifestyle you really want, but it's always going to include work. So everyone likes to show like the highlight reels of the result, but no one likes to show the actual work. Well, this business, it's all work, work, work. So that's okay for most of us because we know we're going to reap what we sow and we're going to plant the seeds now so we have a fully grown tree bearing fruit later on. So this mini series is going to be about my no BS step-by-step framework to actually build a profitable short-term rental portfolio. It's really high level. It's not going to go deep into the nitty-gritty because there's enough experience to actually understand all of this. But I'm also not going to just gloss over all the hard things and just tell you the rosy picture because that's not doing anyone any favors. It's actually being quite dishonest to just say, hey, this can do all of this rental income without talking about how much hard work it actually is to produce that result. So the first episode is going to be about setting the investor thesis. I call this the buy box. It's going to be your target markets, the average nightly rates you're looking for, the property types you're looking for, the capital you're going to put in per deal, and the minimum returns required to make the deal work. So in terms of a cash on cash return in year one, you're going to want to target 20%, but your floor should be 15%. Because if you're getting any lower than that, this is so much work and you could have just gotten into long-term or midterm rentals instead. If you're not going to earn that 20% base minimum floor 15%, this is just too much work. Even if you're doing it for the capital appreciation, the real estate appreciation, it's too much work. So the first thing you should be targeting when you're doing your numbers is a cash on cash return of 20%. The base case, the DSCR base case, should be greater than 1.5. This is using conservative seasonality. So what does this all mean? So the DSCR stands for debt service coverage ratio. So this is going to be the formula of net operating income, NOI, over annual debt service. The net operating income is all of your gross rental revenue minus operating expenses, excluding your loan principal. And you're putting that over the annual debt service, your yearly mortgage principal plus your interest payments. The base case, the middle scenario, matters because in underwriting, it's between the bear and the bull cases. And it's using conservative revenue assumptions, the mid-range average daily rate, the average occupancy, not peak season because it's not always high season, and realistic expenses for your utilities, your cleaning, your maintenance, your management, and your reserves. This is the benchmark lenders and smart investors actually look at. The guardrail here is an SCR underwriting. You want a DSCR of greater than 1.50 in the base case. That means NOI is at least 150% of your mortgage payments. The stress test is if rates go up 2% or revenue drops 10%, you still want the DSCR to be greater than 1.20. So in layman speak, plain English, the DSCR base case is your everyday middle of the road financial scenario that proves a deal can comfortably cover the mortgage and still leave a profit without relying on best case assumptions. There are some successful investors that took a more aggressive stance and carried more debt, but it's not wise because if you don't have a kick-ass product, it's not going to look pretty for you. Break-even occupancy. So break-even occupancy. You want less than 35% of available nights using low season ADR. That's, you might be saying that's not a lot, but in a bad year like COVID, which we may never think will happen again, we still need to pay the bills. And if you don't have sufficient reserves of cash to pay the bills, I really advise against getting into this business because it's just going to stress you out. Doesn't mean you need all of these cash reserves, but you need to make sure that your low season ADR at less than 35% of available nights is going to cover your basics. So what break-even occupancy means, it's the minimum percent of nights you must book in order to cover all your fixed costs. That's mortgage, insurance, taxes, utilities. No profit, no loss. If you're at break-even, the property pays for itself. If you're above break-even, the property is generating a profit. And if you're below, you're feeding it out of pocket, which is no good. We don't want that. We want to use low season average daily rate. STRs look great if you plug in the peak season rates to high season rates, and a lot of property managers want to sell you that dream, but the risk is always in the slow months when demand and rates drop. In Florida, for us, it's September, end of August, when kids go back to school, it's a ghost town. And people, for some reason in this industry, if you're cleaner, maintenance, if you're any company that services short-term rentals, they never save for that slow period. And then they're really wondering why it's so slow, but it happens every year. Property management and Airbnb, it's the same. You're going to have similar slow seasons each year. So you have to make sure that your low season ADR is what you're running after. And by stress testing break-even, using your lowest seasonal average daily rate, you're protecting yourself against a worst case scenario. High season ADR could be $250, low season ADR, $140. So you want to run the break-even math using the $140, not that high $250 figure. So why less than 35% is my personal guardrail? 35% means you only need to book 10 to 11 nights per month out of 30 nights to stay afloat. That's a super safe margin because almost any decent SDR can hit 35%, even in the off season. If your break even is 50% plus, you're exposed. It means you must stay at half occupancy year round just to avoid bleeding cash. So break even occupancy is a formula. You would take break even occupancy, it equals your fixed monthly cost over low season ADR times 30 days. An example of this. You have a fixed cost, mortgage, taxes, insurance, and utilities of $2,500 a month. Your low season ADR is $140 a night. Your monthly potential at low season is $4,200. That's $140 times 30. Break even occupancy, $2,500 divided by $4,200. That's 59.5%. This deal fails my guardrail because it's too risky. A better deal would have better numbers than this. So make sure, bottom line, you want properties where even at your lowest nightly rate, you only need to fill 1/3 of the calendar to cover all expenses. That way, everything else is profit and the downturns won't sink you. So let's talk about CapEx and furniture. Usually it should be 8 to 12% of the purchase price. I've seen it going above 20% if it's a themed out home, amenity driven home that always is going to skew higher. And sometimes the ends justify the means in that case. But if it's not one of those theme homes, 8 to 12% of the purchase price is usually the best rule of thumb. And a lot of people like to go under, but you want to make sure you're not under improving because if you don't truly have a standout product, you're going to suffer in terms of views, the algorithm. It's not going to favor you if you don't have something unique and special. Now, here's a little insider tip about these furniture package companies, especially in these tourist markets. It's the Wild West out there. Snake oil, cowboys, you name it. People overcharge for crappy furniture that they buy from, I'm not trying to name any names, but there's like third party furniture companies that do wholesale. They run similar to MLM marketing companies and they will rip you off. Like they'll sell a bed that they got wholesale for $100. They'll charge you $600 for it, right? And it will fall apart in less than a year. Some of that furniture is not made for high traffic, like a short-term rental, and it will fall apart. So you need to not trust someone just selling you a furniture package because they want to make money. At the end of the day, they're going to charge you as much as possible and try to kick out as little as possible. So be really active in your furniture package process and don't just trust your furniture package company if you hire one to do all of the work. That's a recipe for disaster. In Orlando, when things were hot, some of the 8 bedrooms, they were paying $80,000 to $120,000 to furnish a property. It's crazy because they wanted a theme home. But they overpaid. A lot of the furniture ended up being super, super crappy quality. The painting wasn't the best and they just overpaid and that just went in someone's pocket. And when nightly rates don't support that, you run into big trouble. So do not trust the first furniture package person you find. Make sure you get references and make sure you actually see what their markup is. Are they being transparent about their markup? Do you know exactly how much the design fee is and how aggressive is their package pricing? Make sure it makes sense. Now, when I use the term buy box, think of your buy box like a filter. Without it, every shiny property, it looks like an opportunity. With it, you can look at 100 deals and instantly kill 95 of them. So save time and avoid these mistakes and have your filter. Your filter is going to force you to define what you buy, where you buy, how much you'll spend, what returns you must hit, and which deals you'll automatically walk away from without giving it another look. A key component of your buy box is target markets. So I pick 3 or 5 markets where I know the demand drivers, like beaches, theme parks, seas, lakes, national parks, universities, medical hubs, they're there. The filter that I set next is for friendly regulations. So permits should be easy, zoning, HOAs, no soft bans. Unless it's one of those places where a permit, if you sit on a waiting list and you get into that market, the permit actually helps you because they're limiting the supply. A lot of those markets tend to do extremely well because of the limited supply. There's only so many places guests can go and you'll make a ton of money there. But the downside is you may be waiting forever for a permit and it might not be super viable. But if you don't have a realistic path to a permit to one of those markets, you want the path to permitting to be a little bit easier so you're not running into stumbling blocks after you've got into the property to actually get everything moving and earning revenue from day one. Example of this would be the theme parks in Orlando. We got Epic Universe that opened up, the Smoky Mountains, the cabins, they tend to do really well, at least when guests are wanting to go to Smoky Mountains, and Tampa for medical and tourism. So think of the destination and think of why people are traveling when you pick your target market. It should also be somewhere you enjoy if it's not purely a business decision, because if you're also using it for yourself, your friends, your family, it doesn't hurt to actually enjoy the place, right? Next is the average nightly rate band. So define the guest tier you're going to serve. Are you serving budget guests, $100 to $150, higher occupancy, thinner margins, more wear and tear, midterm, mid-tier, middle-class families, bread and butter with the widest demand? Or are you going super luxury, $300 plus with lower occupancy, but strong margins if you have the marketing presence for it? So pick one rate band per market, stay consistent, or you're going to confuse your underwriter trying to go after a luxury property one day and a budget property the next. You want a clear business plan because it's going to help with underwriting. The property type is also important. Are you targeting single family homes with 3 to 5 bedrooms, drive to markets with family demand, condos in urban or downtown areas, but usually having HOA rules, or cabins, cottages, and villas, which are more niche, but ADR premiums are there if it's well branded. In Orlando, we look at 4 to 5 bedroom single family homes with a pool and SDR approved communities. Then you want to set your capital per deal. So decide your cash budget, your down payment, plus your closing costs, plus your furniture and capital expenditures back into it. So if you've got $100,000 cash, you can typically support a $400,000 purchase price, that being at 25% down and 8 to 12% CapEx and furniture. Then back to the minimum returns we talked about, the cash on cash return to target 20%. The debt service coverage ratio at the base case should be greater than 1.5, and the break-even occupancy should be less than 35% of available nights at low season ADR. So you only need 10 nights a month booked in the worst months to stay afloat. The CapEx and furniture budget we talked about, 8 to 12% of the purchase price up front, unless you have an amenity-heavy home and you're theming it out, and there's a reason to support a higher capital expenditure. And then here we go. We got our one-page buy box. It's going to look like this. In Orlando, this would be my thesis. My market would be Orlando in an SDR approved zone, a 4 to 5 bedroom single family home with a pool built after year 2000, 350K to 500K price range, now realistically more 650K, ADR target band of $150 to $225 per night with at least 2 parking spots. The HOA must allow SDR, no soft bans, and a capital allocation of 90K per deal. That's with the down payment, CapEx, and furniture. And my guardrails would be a cash on cash return of over 20%, a debt service coverage ratio of greater than 1.50 in the base case, and a break even of less than 35% occupancy at a low season ADR with CapEx and furniture of about 10% of the purchase price. That would be my buy box. And you want a similar buy box to know what your thesis is going into any short-term rental investment before you even start looking, because emotions can run high. And without that criteria, without the parameters, you're basically operating blind. And you don't want to be operating blind, because realtors are super persuasive and can talk you into buying something that it can be kind of a load of crap. You could get a property that is a dud and it's not going to perform, but trust me, they're going to tell you that's the hottest things in sliced bread and it's going to make all this money. Probably not true. You need to use your own investor thesis. Yeah, ask the realtor about their local knowledge of the market, how busy it is, all those regular questions you're going to ask a real estate broker, but make sure you rely on your investor thesis to make the ultimate decision. Your investor thesis and your buy box is your compass. It prevents analysis paralysis. It keeps you disciplined and it allows you to scale because you're running the same play. You're going to tweak that buy box, but you have a direction on your compass and you're not operating blindly. So I hope this podcast was helpful. This is part of my mini series on how to build a profitable short-term rental portfolio without all the baloney and BS that you're sold on YouTube. And I hope this was helpful. If you have any suggestions for the podcast, I'd love to hear it by email. If you'd like a free listing review, please send it to me by email. My link is going to be in the show notes. And hey, before we wrap up, I want to talk directly to you hosts that are feeling stretched thin. If you've got a vacation rental and you're tired of answering guest messages at midnight, chasing cleaners, trying to figure out pricing every week, that's exactly what I help with through my co-hosting service. I handle the day-to-day guest communication, calendar management, pricing, lodging taxes, and even making sure the property is cleaned and stocked. You still own and control your listing and payouts. I just take the stress off your plate so you can actually enjoy the income. I've personally hosted over 10,000 stays and I run a professional cleaning and maintenance company, and I know what it takes to get 5-star reviews consistently. So if you want a partner who treats your property like a business and makes sure it performs like one, let's talk. So head over to the show notes and a link to a discovery call with me will be there. The next episode is going to be about compliance and regulations. And some people find that super boring. I think it's actually really interesting, but there's a lot of opportunity in it because if you target markets like I talked about earlier, that they have a set list of permits and you're able to get one, there's a lot of cash flow opportunity there. And it's also helpful to learn about how to make this process easier, because as you scale as a short-term rental host, you'll know if you should outsource that or an easier way to tackle it or how to organize your compliance better. So that's what the next episode is going to be about, how to handle compliance and regulations when you're building a short-term rental portfolio. So until next time, friends, happy hosting.